Return to Camp Blood, episode 69, Community Spotlight with Jeff Flynn. This episode is brought to you by JDF Studios.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming to me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing it if you stay here.
Never come back again.
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselors, Eric.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
And Nathan.
What's up, guys?
We featured many artists on this show who paint masks from the screen accurate to custom paint schemes, but rarely do these guys actually make their own blanks. That's not a slight to them, but it does take a lot of work to get a good quality blank out there. If you've purchased a replica mask in the past few years, chances are it was painted on a JDF blank. Joining us tonight is the owner and operator of JDF Studios, Jeff Flynn. How are you tonight, Jeff?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Not too bad.
So just to get right into it, Jeff, what sort of drew you to the franchise itself?
Well, it's, let's see, been a fan since I was about 6 years old. And it's kind of funny, actually. My family got our first VCR, and the very first videotape that we rented was Friday the 13th, the final chapter. So I was 6 years old, watching Friday the 13th, and just been hooked on it ever since. And probably shouldn't have been watching it at 6 years old, but, eh. You know, parents didn't seem to mind. So
I was the same age when the final chapter in Nightmare on Elm Street came out, and whenever I asked my dad if I could watch it, I told him I knew that it was fake and that it was makeup. And that's what that's totally what got me into horror. Exact same final chapter on. So do you start out with a big block of clay and work your own way down to be able to form your own masks?
Well, the masks that I started out with were copies of production castings or actual production blank. And what I would do is I would make a stone tooling master from those, work on them a bit, fix any imperfections, shape them if they needed to be shaped. And from there, I would make a final mold that would be used to pull an actual vacuum forming buck. And that's pretty much how I do it. Now, a lot of guys kind of like feel iffy about that, because if you're not doing it from a ground up sculpt, which some guys do, they kind of point the finger at you. But the way I look at it is, if you can get something that is as close to the original mask as possible, you know, go with that, use it. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, well, that's, you know, that's their prerogative. And you know, they could choose to use what I offer or not.
So it sounds like, you know, you sometimes get grief from the community about that.
Not often, but sometimes I do. People will flat out call you a recaster, when really that's kind of a gray area there, where you do have fans within the community that view taking any existing item and copying it to any degree is wrong. But then you have guys that feel that, well, if you have an item that's from production or something that's a copy of something from production, it's fair game. And I guess it depends on really what the community is willing to accept with regards to that. Adam Savage actually has a pretty cool take on that. There's a video he made, and you know, I recommend people seek it out, watch this video, listen to it, and, watch it, I should say, and, I mean, they can make up their own mind, as to what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. But, you know, as far as grief goes, I don't really get it often, but, you know, when I get it, I look at it, I'm like, okay, I see where you guys are coming from, and, you know, okay, so, you know, don't use what I offer then. You know, you could seek out a maker who made a ground-up sculpt, and use what they offer.
And yes, that is true. And to do that, you're looking at spending roughly $500 to $1,000 for a mask that Mr. Flynn here does. And he does a spectacular job. I know I've got at least three JDF hockey masks that were painted on JDF blanks. And I mean, 0.90.
Well, I offer the masks in a few thicknesses. I have 060, 090, and 0.125. Depending on what the maker purchased from me to use to make a particular mask, you would end up with really any of those three there in terms of thicknesses. I mean, it actually gets really confusing for a lot of people when they go on my site and they're trying to actually purchase a mask blank for the first time or a hockey mask kit. They see the varying thicknesses and different options and like, oh, which one do I choose? And I'll get that message. And it's like, in the end, they always ask, you know, why do you offer this much stuff? And, you know, it's just personal preference. Some makers would rather use a blank that's an eighth of an inch thick or 1.25 thick, or some would rather use the standard 0.93 thickness or 3/32 of an inch thick. It's really preference.
It's hard to get paint to stay permanently on those thinner ones, though, as well, I've noticed.
Is this the 060 PETG blanks? It's yeah, those can be tough because they're very, very smooth. So you kind of got to rough them up with a little steel wool before you paint those.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And so whenever you do your get your bucks or your forms, and I agree with your thinking of it. I mean, if someone wants a Jason mask, they want something as closely related to the movie as possible. That's why NECA sells a brittle resin mask. You know,
well, I've seen many pictures of broken NECA masks over the years.
Yes. Yes,
which is what eventually led to me just, okay, let's take this and, you know, because it is cast from the originals, so let's make a tool from this and just cast them properly out of a nice high-impact plastic. And, I know a lot of guys who just do them in resin or fiberglass, like how they were done in the movies, which is something that I don't offer, but eventually I probably will just to satisfy that portion of the fan base who wants something that's true to the original mask for those particular movies, the versus the remake and the Jason X. But those masks, however they made them, it was amazing because I had one at the time I was still actually painting hockey masks, and somebody sent me a remake, and just trying to remove the strap, the snap fastener hardware for the straps, just whole side of the mask just split right off. And I'm like, oh, wow. Wasn't expecting that. Just putting pressure on it from a drill just to try to drill that hardware out, and mask just, boom, right, like an eggshell. I was like, oh, wow, that's bad.
Yeah. And
yeah, I think that's because they put a lot of filler in those masks. It's not a whole lot of resin, actually, in them.
Right.
I think they got a lot of sand in them. Actually, you know what it reminds me of? If you're familiar with like those Hallmark figurines, they're like a polystone. That's almost like what those masks are made out of. Where, you know, if you just knock into them or breathe on them the wrong way, they just fall apart on you.
Yep. How did you get the correct length for the chevrons? I mean, I don't know if there's, I've not actually looked online to where it says a measurement or whatnot.
Well, with the chevron decals and stencils, that was all trial and error. I would make a template on graph paper, then just cut out by hand a vinyl decal. And if it looked good, I'm like, okay, that's fine. That looks about right. Then I would scan that into my computer and then do a vector graphic for my vinyl cutter. So that's just trial and error to get the measurements and size right for that. And those I'm constantly changing. I don't think too many people notice that, the varying differences from time to time as they order them or get them with their mask kits. But that's kind of like a pet peeve for me. And it's weird because most people would never note a difference, which is why I never post an update saying, hey, you know, just so you guys know, I updated the Part 5 chevron details, where it's, well, very subtle differences, but it's something that I constantly change because it really annoys me if something is just off a little bit. I guess a lot of guys are like that, just always focusing on weird things. It's like, you know, it shouldn't matter, but it's like, yeah, drive you nuts.
Oh yeah, the attention to detail, but then again, that's what sells the character, is that attention to detail on every level of it. I mean, it's hard to be a scary Jason, without being a novelty.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that.
For some of the listeners out there that might not be, you know, familiar with what it is that you offer exactly, I noticed on your website you do offer mask kits. Maybe you could explain, you know, what all comes with a mask kit if somebody were to order one of those for a specific part.
Okay. Well, the mask kits are for people who don't have all the tools and know how to actually take a raw mask blank, trim it down, and reshape it, make the straps. So when you purchase a mask kit, you get the mask trimmed, sanded, basically ready to paint. All you would really have to do is maybe give it a rub down with steel wool, prime it, paint it, and just attach the straps. Straps are made or pre-made. They're distressed, so you really don't even have to weather the straps. So that's done for you. So basically just you buy the kit, you paint it, and attach the straps, and you got yourself your very own Jason mask replica.
And of course, vinyl decals, I'm assuming.
Yes, of course. Every kit comes with you could choose either the decal or the stencils if you prefer to actually paint the chevrons on the mask as opposed to having decals.
Well, there you go, Eric. You can be painting some masks.
There you go.
I try to make it as easy on fans as possible, because when I came into the hobby, as mask makers call it, I'm sure you've heard that term a million times from mask makers, always called the hobby. And when I came into it, it was unheard of. You couldn't buy a hockey mask blank from anybody. And basically you had to be real buddy-buddy with people who actually had molds where they could make a mask. And this is something that wasn't available when I came around. And, you know, after I'd left Fright Stuff, for a time I was an artist on Ken Torello's forum there. And, you know, a lot of guys eventually left. They weren't happy with how things were going over there. And, you know, I decided, like, you know what? You know, it would be cool to basically do what Ken was trying to do, but just cater more towards the fans and offer something, not something, but a greater variety of stuff, and just make it as easy on the fans as possible for them to make their own Jason mask replicas. And because I think at the time when I left Fright Stuff, Ken only had a Part 3 kit and I think a remake kit. So he had two kits. So my goal was, okay, you know, offer everything that you could possibly offer there. You know, if fans want a Jason X, they can get a Jason X. If fans want to make a Part 9, they can make a Part 9. And that's really what I've been trying to do for, I would say, past 6-7 years now, just putting it out there for fans. Here's what I got. You can make your own mask. You know, if you don't have the money to spend with a mask maker, you know, you could give it a shot. Or if you just wanted to, you know, make your own mask, it's there for you and you could do that. And I think it's pretty cool to be able to do that. And you know, it's kind of surreal in a way, because you know, a lot of guys kind of look up to me in a sense that you know, I wouldn't be doing this if you didn't offer this stuff for the fans to be able to make their own masks. So, it's kind of cool. I look at it as something cool to do. And,
I think that's pretty understandable, because if you didn't offer those products, most people wouldn't have the means to be able to, you know, form their own mask and, you know, everything that goes along with what you offer. The average person just simply couldn't do that.
No, they would have to go through another mask maker who makes their own stuff. And, that's if they would even offer this. Like I said, when I came into the hobby, you know, you had to really know a maker and they liked you, they trusted you, and they would give you a mask blank and, you know, you can make your own. But, you know, there's very few guys today that, will even sell you, you know, a blank casting to make, because everyone is scared to death that, you know, if I give you this, you're just gonna, you know, throw it in rubber and make your own copies, you know. And
that's,
you know, it's understandable, you know, concern that a lot of guys have. And what can you do? It's just how it is. But
absolutely, our logo mask is actually one of, I think it's a circa 94-95 Ken Turillo Fright Stuff mask, the logo mask that we have.
Huh.
And the paint job on it is actually atrocious. Thank God for Photoshop.
Photoshop for the win. For the time, it was really cool what Ken was trying to do. And, you know, I think a lot of guys in the hobby know that, you know, myself, Ken, and a few other guys, you know, we had our falling out and our arguments on the forum. But, you know, I'll always say to this day that, you know, all that aside, you know, anybody who knows about, you know, that drama and blow up on that site, you know, I'll always say that Ken offered an amazing product. And, you know, really, if you wanted something that was actually cast off a production mold, I mean, he has that. And that's, you know, like, you know, people look at my stuff, it's like, well, that's cool. Well, that's cool that you can get something like that, you know. So I always tell people that. It's like, oh, what do you think of Fright Stuff? Like, they expect the negative answer because, you know, I know you had your falling out with Ken, but I always tell people, you know, Ken's stuff is awesome. So, you know, if you can still get his stuff, if he's still selling, or if you find it on eBay, you know, go for it. It's awesome.
But, I mean, as far as blanks go, I mean, there's a lot of great artists that, I mean, just, but you set the standard very, very high when it comes to quality and of the mask. And I think that, I mean, just the quality that you send out translates to the better product when it gets to me, the consumer.
Well, a lot of mask makers that I talk to personally, I talk to on the phone or through Messenger, you know, they have tried everybody who's selling, you know, and because there are a few guys out there who do sell blanks, and generally the common reaction I get from mask makers who, you know, buy my stuff is, you know, just that, the quality of it. My customers appreciate and the artwork better if it's on one of your mask blanks or kits. And, you know, that makes me feel great. I'm like, oh, all right, thank you. You know, so, and a lot of makers do use my stuff, and that's, you know, I guess that says a lot about the quality, because if it wasn't up to snuff, people just wouldn't use it. You know, they would go to somebody else.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. What's the craziest or strangest or funniest thing a customer has ever requested of you?
Oh, God. This is a family show, right?
No. Ooh. No, it is not.
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, God. Let's see. I have to really think about this one, because I actually do get a few. You know, it's funny. Every morning I'll wake up and, you know, the first thing I do is check my messages, and, you know, it's like, oh, depending on what I'm reading today, it's like, well, it's time for a drink. Doesn't matter if it's 6 in the morning or not. Well, crazy requests. I mean, I guess, let's see. Are you asking if somebody is actually off the wall crazy, or you know, just an odd request.
Either or both.
Either or. Well,
it sounds like you got something good. You're not sure if you want to share it with us or not.
Well, I don't want to embarrass, but I've actually had people offer to send me pictures of their significant other, you know, if I would give them discounts and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, well, that's, you know, to me, that's like really like, wait a minute, that's, you're trying to buy something from me, but you're like, well, you know, would you like to see some nude pictures of my wife or my girlfriend is basically what this one person told me one time. And I'm like, wow. I don't think I've ever responded to that email, actually. I'm like, well, we'll just archive this message and forget I actually read it. You know, I know a buddy of mine actually was propositioned for, you know, to get a mask. So, which is just bizarre to me. It's like, well, I mean, what do you say to that? It's like, well, like, okay. you actually got to take a step back from your computer sometimes. Cause I'm like, well, you got some bizarre people out there.
Well, yes, nowadays you just never know if you should open an email or not. It's just getting ridiculous.
Oh God.
So it sounds like you've had some dandies. Anyways, if someone wanted to look you up, where could they find you on the internet?
Well, if you want to make a purchase, you can go to my website, jdfstudios.com. And you can find me on Facebook at JDF Studios and on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, but I never upload videos. I'm kind of lazy with the video making. Like, one of these days I'll get around to it, so you could kind of subscribe to my vacant YouTube channel. that's kind of a work in progress.
Gotcha.
I keep meaning to post up tutorials on, you know, how to cut and trim and paint and stuff like that, but I always end up getting caught up on work and life.
Oh, of course.
So
totally understandable. Well, there you go, people. Visit his website, buy some blanks, paint your own masks.
Yeah. I know between the three of us, we probably have probably around 14 or 15 masks on JDF blanks. So,
I'm sitting here looking, at about a dozen of them right now.
That's weird. I gotta tell you, it's so weird, you know, to think about how many guys out there use my stuff, and it's like
the majority of these were painted by Tim Schultz.
Tim, great guy. I've had great all night conversations with him.
I've had many of those. Yeah, I've had many of those.
I haven't spoken to him recently, but I keep meaning to give him a call lately and see what he's up to. But he's a great guy. I always enjoy talking to Tim. And if anyone actually wants a really nice painted mask, they should go to Tim. They will not be disappointed.
All right, Jeff. We really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Yes, thank you very much, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on. I hope I wasn't too much of a bore.
No, people actually really seem to like the episodes where we talk to makers in our community. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate that you guys actually do these Q&As with the community. It's, you know, because a lot of fans actually don't know that there's this indie mask prop making scene where, you know, if you actually wanted something that was not just, you know, cheap off the shelf replica that you buy at Toys R Us, you know, you can go and seek out and find something that's pretty close to what you see on the screen. And, you know, you guys make it possible for people to find that. So that's,
because I didn't even know any of this existed until we started doing the show and I started joining some of the Facebook groups. And then that, you know, that's sort of what gave me the idea to start doing these. I'm like, damn, there are a lot of people that make stuff. We should be talking to these folks. Mm-hmm. So
until we all get cease and desist orders. But we don't talk about that.
No.
Actually, I actually got one about 10 years ago. I have it framed in my office. Like, I've arrived.
Wow.
But we won't get into the nitty gritty of that.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, man, we appreciate you agreeing to join us on the show tonight. I know you're pretty busy getting Halloween orders ready, so thanks for taking time out.
Oh, anytime. This was actually really cool. This is actually the first time I think I've ever done, like, any kind of Q&A with anybody. So, you know, it's kind of neat, actually.
Thank you.
Well, all right. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to the show. If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you think you or someone you know should be featured on the show, you can hit us up on the website under the contact tab or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/69. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check his stuff out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.